Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online, so if there's something you'd like to talk about or a Bible question we can answer, we invite your call now to 844-322-2742. That number is good in the U.S. and in Canada. We would love for you to call right now, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about redemption, and in light of all the things that are going on in the world, it's wonderful to have an anchor for our soul, something that we can stand upon that's solid, that's sure, that's unshakable, immovable, that it's always going to be there, and that's our redemption in Christ Jesus and the fact that as believers in Christ, we have been adopted into sonship, and that's the good news, and that's exactly why Christ redeemed us. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law that we might receive adoption to sonship. As children of God, we have full rights as sons, and that's who we are in this world today. And boy, is that ever good news, and that's a refreshment for the soul, isn't it, guys?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of the things about sonship is just realizing the nature of your heart, the nature of who you are spiritually now. And, you know, it's not just that God bought us, but God changed us. He exchanged the old for the new, and we really are new creations. That sonship has such a deep meaning to it when we realize, you know, God took out my heart of stone and he gave me a new living heart, and he performed a surgery on me that I desperately needed at the core of my being. And so now, you know, he trusts me. He put me in a place of honor. He invited me to his table. This idea of adoption and sonship, it's not, you know, in the world when we adopt someone, what a awesome move that is. I have a friend who recently has adopted a child, and, you know, it means the world for that child to be rescued. But, you know, God goes even further with us. He doesn't just adopt us, and he doesn't just redeem us. But in the midst of all that, he actually swoops down out of heaven and lives inside of us, and we're born of the Spirit, and he actually changes our very core. And that is just incredible to think about and set your mind on as you live your day.
And that's exactly what Paul goes on to say in that passage. That's Galatians chapter 4, starting in verse 4. Goes on to say, because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. So to be a son means that God has come to live inside of us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And I think that's one of the most astounding, stunning truths in the Word of God, and a reality that we all experience, that we wake up every single day in God's presence and God in our presence. And we can enjoy him every step we take of every single day in our lives. And that's what it means to be a son. A good friend of mine sent me an article that he wrote, and he said, you know, old covenant thinking is we're constantly going around trying to mend a broken contract. Avoided, violated contract. That's what religion kind of moves you to do. But once you know who you are in Christ, it's all about enjoying your inheritance as a son. And that's exactly what this passage is all about. That's what redemption is all about. And the good news is that Christ is alive, living in us. Let's talk about it on today's broadcast.
Let's do that, friends. You can join the conversation at 844-322-2742. As I said at the outset, that's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel. Andrew Farley's joining Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and me, and we thank you for joining us. Opening the broadcast, guys, with a question from Greg, who lives in the New York area. He says, I know the Sabbath is on Saturday, but we go to church on Sunday. Are we sinning against God by attending on Sunday? Are we supposed to do anything on Saturdays? I just want to be clear about the Sabbath. That's from Greg in the New York area.
Yeah, well, Greg, that's a great question. It's one that a lot of us ask at some point in our Christian life. The reality is that now, You know, every day belongs to the Lord. There's not a particular day. Paul talks about this in Romans. He tells us in Romans 14, I believe it is, he says, you know, some people honor a certain day, others see every day is the same. Let each person be convinced in their own mind. The bottom line is Sunday was never the Sabbath to begin with. I mean, the Sabbath was under the law. The Jewish priests were, you know, enforcing the idea of worshiping and keeping a Sabbath day holy. That was when, you know, Friday night at sundown through Saturday evening, they refrained from working. And, you know, thousands of years later on this side of the cross, we've got Christians who have a misunderstanding about this. I remember my wife telling me that when she was growing up in the denomination she was in Canada, you know, they weren't even allowed to water ski on Sunday. And so they had somehow turned Saturday Sabbath into Sunday Sabbath, and then they had turned no working into no fun. And that really kills your Sunday. You can't even enjoy and thank God for the outdoors. But, you know, we do this sort of thing when a mix of law and grace comes in there. And the reality is we're dead to the law. That means we're dead to the Sabbath. We're not under the law. That means we're not under the Sabbath. The Sabbath was an aspect of the law. And so that's why Paul says, you know, there's people who are keeping a new moon festival and a Sabbath day, and they're, you know, adhering to days and festivals and years and this sort of thing. And Paul is fearing for them. And he says, you know, in Colossians, he says a Sabbath day and that sort of thing was only a shadow, and the reality is resting in Christ. So today we rest in Christ every day, and we're free from any sort of obligation to a Jewish Sabbath.
That's kind of what we just talked about a minute ago, you know, asking questions about should we honor the Sabbath, what is it exactly, all of that. That's trying to say, hey, I want to honor this contract instead of enjoying the inheritance. And the Sabbath, when you really understand it, it really is one of those blessings of inheritance, isn't it? It's something that God has gifted us to enjoy by grace through faith in Jesus when we rest from our works just as Christ rested from his. And that's eternal in nature.
Yes.
This isn't a day of the week. This is a state that we experience, a state of perpetual rest in the Lord Jesus Christ because of all that he's accomplished for us through his death, burial, in resurrection.
Yes, indeed. Well, Greg, hope you're listening, and I hope that's a help to you. And, of course, friends, we count it a privilege to be here every day to answer questions and lead you into the Word of God for the answer and the solution. But we couldn't do it, Richard, without our listeners supporting us.
No, we couldn't. And what I'd like to do is read a couple of short passages out of some emails that I was sharing back and forth with a person here in the Dallas area. It says, I've been listening to the Basic Gospel on the Word radio for almost a year now. My question is there a church around the Dallas Metroplex that teaches this message of simply grace? Here's the key phrase. I am a misfit in the traditional church. Mm. She bound up.
Yeah.
Under slavery of some kind because of various circumstances. I wrote back and explained that we are the church and that, you know, the Spirit leads us and all of that. They wrote back, thanks so much. I do have a small group. And hearing you say churches within us gives me rest from tied up in knots over
right.
Where do I go to church to rest. I was praying over this issue on Sunday when I told God to make me completely understand that he does not dwell in man-made houses. That's why we do what we do. And that's why it is so important when you give, you're impacting people like Lynn. Who wrote these two emails. Mm-hmm. On the one hand, feeling bound up and as a misfit, and then being able to be set free from misconceptions about church to enjoy her relationship with Jesus Christ and this small group that she meets with.
Yeah.
That's why we do what we do, and we'd love for you to partner with us.
And you can do that right now by calling and speaking with our operator at 844-412-2742. She's standing by right now. She'd love to speak with you. 844-412-2742. Well, don't want to mix you up. We're going to give another number now. That's the one that you can call in on and speak with us here at Basic Gospel right now. That number is 844-322-2742. 2742, 844-322-2742. The lines are wide open, plenty of time on the clock. We'd love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. Guys, a question from Ron, who writes to us from Moline, Illinois. Says, I have a brother in Christ that's really into guns and gardens, believing we need to protect ourselves against government uprise and civil unrest. A popular verse used is Luke 22:36, let him go and buy a sword. He says, I used to have a good fellowship with him, but to me it's gone too far. What do you think about all this? That's from Ron in Moline, Illinois.
Interesting question, isn't it, guys? And certainly timely. I think a lot of people are kind of asking questions like that and trying to figure out what to do in light of all of the unrest that we're seeing in society today. So, you know, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, Bob, you know, first and foremost, you know, we here in the United States, you know, we can be really thankful that we have a nation where we can speak our mind and we can vote and we can participate in electing leaders. And, you know, with the chaos going on right now, you can certainly see why, with all the hate and the there's racism out there that is birthed of that hate, and there's also disrespect for authority, disrespect for police. And, you know, you say, where is all this coming from? And I think, you know, Romans 1 gives us a really good snapshot of where it's coming from. It's not that gun control is the answer. It's not that education is the answer. It's not that more politically correct speech is the answer. We got to understand the problem in order to understand the answer. And the problem is the human heart. When we show up on this planet, we might have the idea that everyone is essentially good and that the world is getting better. But very quickly we find out everyone is not essentially good and the world is not getting better. It's getting worse. Yeah. And so, you know, when we understand the core problem, that it's actually the human heart, we can really begin to talk about the hope that we have as believers. What I'm saying is I personally don't believe that the answer will come out of Washington, D.C. I don't believe that laws and changes of laws and legislation is the answer. You can't legislate love in the human heart. You can't legislate acceptance. You can't legislate unity. It's going to have to come from the heart. And that's why the very Christians, people like us who were wondering, hey, Lord, you know, why is this happening, Lord? Well, I think we've already got our answer. And the answer is that it's happening because people are born in Adam. They're born in the flesh. They're looking for identity, as sometimes they look to violence for identity. And, you know, when we think about the fact that we actually have the solution inside of us in the person of Christ, then we make ourselves available to him to, you know, give an account of this hope that we have in the gospel with gentleness and respect as we communicate with others. So, you know, people will say, well, you didn't tell us what to vote for, and you didn't tell us what to believe about guns, and you didn't tell us, you know, who should be the next leader, and you didn't tell us. Well, the reason I'm not going that direction is because, quite frankly, yeah, I'm thankful for the United States and the freedom we enjoy, but ultimately, I know that the answer is Jesus Christ changing human hearts, giving us a new heart and a new spirit, and his spirit living within us.
Absolutely.
Had a wonderful Facebook comment today from on that very subject, and this is from Tim, and he writes, it has to be really tempting to use your position to speak on politics or make your opinion known on every matter under the sun. And he says, thank you for not doing that and continuing just to preach the good news. Why, as you said, Andrew, the answer is in Jesus. He is the solution. He's the only one that knows the human heart. He's the only one that can circumcise the human heart and make it brand new, a heart that is willing to trust him, a heart that's willing to turn to him, a heart that's willing to live just as he lived when he walked the earth, and that was independence upon his Father. So he's fitted us with that new heart that wants to walk independence upon him in the same way he walked independence upon his Father. And in that life of dependency, we see the fruit of love being born in our lives. and in such a way that can impact others within our sphere of influence. And that's not a warm, ushy-gushy feeling. That's action. That's choosing to be patient with others. That's acting kindly toward others. That's persevering with others. That's never falling away from others, but just hanging in there. That's what love is all about, and that fruit can be expressed as we simply abide in Christ, as we live in the vine of Jesus and allow his life to flow in and through us. That's how Christ set this whole Christian life up. That's how it's to be lived out, and that's what we need to do in this world today. You know, a lot of times we get focused on saving America or saving this institution or that institution. God came to save people, and it's people that he's interested in, and we have the opportunity to reach out and be a part of that rescue mission by lifting up the name of Jesus.
Yes, indeed. 844-322-2742. Plenty of time, friends. We would love to hear from you. If you have a question or something you'd like to talk about, we'd love to hear from you right now. 844-322-2742. Andrew, you obviously have an attraction for the message of basic gospel. You spend your time as a member of the board of directors, your time, your energy, your talents. You serve with us each week on the radio broadcast. Why do you do that?
Well, because, you know, number one, I agree with everything we just laid out. I mean, you know, what have we just said? We have just said that there are serious problems going on in the United States right now. There are serious problems going on in the world right now outside of the United States. It's ISIS and terrorism and violence. Inside of the United States, there's disharmony and disunity and hate and disrespect. And, you know, we just finished talking about what is the answer to this. And so to me, again, the answer is not found in politics. So the reason that I want to serve here with Basic Gospel and share here and communicate and reach out and minister to others is because I really believe that Jesus Christ is the answer to the hate and the disharmony and the disunity. And so, you know, I would encourage the listeners out there, as you're listening today, do you agree with us? Do you see what we see? You may want to support a political party or a political candidate, and that's fine and good. But will you support the gospel message? Will you support the proclamation of what actually changes human hearts? You may give to other places, to your local church, to charities. Will you also support the proclamation of this basic gospel message? Do you not believe in your heart of hearts? Do you not see what we see and agree with us that this is so critical, so central, so important to really showcase all that Jesus Christ has done through the cross and the resurrection, and to allow this message to penetrate human hearts around the world? And that's what we're doing here at Basic Gospel. We've got radio programs all over the country that are tuning in, radio stations that are all over and beyond on the internet. We're reaching dozens of countries as they listen and live stream and check out the archives. So it's a powerful opportunity to really bring the truth that sets people free. So if that's on your heart today and you want to reach out and support and encourage us, I encourage you to go to our website. It's basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. And if you want to call in and reach out that way, you can do that at 844-412-2742. Again, that's 844-412-2742.
Andrew, thank you for those thoughts, and we really appreciate your participation with us and your love for this ministry called Basic Gospel. Guys, a question from Mark, who writes to us from Albany, New York. He says, could you please elaborate on the words Jesus spoke at the end of his life, my God, why have you forsaken me?
Good well, question, guys, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Go ahead, Bob.
No, I was going to say it's something that points back to Psalm 22, where God inspired the psalmist to talk about how Jesus was going to die. And I think he was giving credence to that and saying, hey, what the psalmist was writing about is being fulfilled right now. It's interesting. We very seldom read that whole psalm. We just kind of read that first verse and tie it into those last words of Jesus. But there's some incredible things in that psalms about, the love of God the Father for Jesus Christ the Son, and how he did not abandon him at that time of need, that hour of need. But as far as Jesus was concerned, the agony of taking upon the sins of the world, my sins, your sins, everybody's sins, it was so dark for him that he felt as if his Father had forsaken him once and for all. That's the nature of sin, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is important what you're saying. Jesus Christ is God. He was God. He is God. He will forever be God. God did not die. The life of God was not snuffed out forever. That's what I'm saying. So, of course, God and Jesus have always been on the same page together. A lot of people don't understand this utterance of Jesus on the cross. But I think going back to Psalm 22, as you have, and just looking at the context, first and foremost, that really helps. But also, I think just understanding that Jesus became sin, and that is why he experienced what felt like a separation or a forsaking. It's because he was bearing the sin of the world, and he actually, the Bible says, he became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus never sinned a day in his life. He became sin. We never did anything righteous in our entire lives, and we became the righteousness of God. So God did this for us, and Jesus was certainly in the midst of it and involved, and God and Jesus were on the same team the whole time. But man, he felt all of that. He felt forsaken. He uttered this idea, why have you forsaken me? And that was part of the experience of becoming sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God and never be forsaken. I mean, God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Now, that's some good news.
I think the words out of our hearts and off of our lips, it's joy inexpressible. Yeah. We really don't have words to adequately express what it feels like to be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We know the pain of sin. We know the stain of sin. We know the emptiness and that feeling of distance that sin brings. But now in Christ, we know this joy inexpressible, something that transcends happiness, transcends anything that's out there in the world. And that's a part of our inheritance as children of God. And Jesus suffered the ultimate agony so that we could have the ultimate experience in him. And that's what this basic gospel message is all about. We have a great opportunity to really explore the depths of it more next year in Israel, February 7th through the 18th. We certainly have space and room for more people to join us, but the deadline is coming up, August 1st. So if you'd like to go with us to Israel next year, next February, February 7th through the 18th, go to our website, click the events tab, and look at all of the information there, and come join us and really explore the depths of this good news of Jesus Christ in the place that it actually happened.
Yeah. I like to say, just experience the whole panorama of biblical history unfolding right before your eyes. I think it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful experience for those who participate.
Yes, indeed.
Again, go to basicgospel.net, click the events tab, and we would love to see you as a part of this very, very special trip coming up this coming February, the 7th through the 18th. It's going to be 11 days of just a wonderful time. Again, events at basicgospel.net. I want to remind you also that we have a wonderful app, the Basic Gospel app, to help you stay connected with the ministry. It's a wonderful way to do that. Also, be sure to go online to basicgospel.net and click subscribe in the upper left corner and get signed up for our email list. We would love to see you be connected every day to Basic Gospel. Well, thanks for being with us again today, everybody. Now, for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, for Andrew Farley and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be with us again tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel.